Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota, let's go places. It's Thursday, September 23rd, 2021. It's Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. And Keith, we are back for another episode. An interview coming up with Maryland volleyball coach Adam Hughes. Maryland volleyball, 12-0, Keith. You can't be any better than that. You can't be any better than undefeated. That is just a fact.
That's a fact of life right there.
But we will start. We will start with the big story from the weekend. Maryland football's 20-17. Game-winning field goal from Joe Petrino. A bit of a slog of a game on Friday night as they went through the middle of quarters, but Mike Loxley's crew gets it done at the end. That's all you can ask for. 3-0. They were at that point the only 3-0 team in college football, which ended about 12 hours later. But look, you know, these are the type of slog games you got to win on the road sometimes. The Terps went out to Illinois and beat a team that was worse than them in a game that, you know, I think we've seen at times get away from other Maryland teams, winnable games on the road, maybe didn't respond to adversity well enough. Coach Loxley was very happy to have the team responded. And Talia Tungavailoa had his star moment, you know, two drives to tie the game and then win the game with a short field. Petrino makes the kick. Your takeaways from the game?
Talia's one of the game changers, Taylor. We had the better quarterback on Maryland's bench, 350 total yards passing for him. And then Teyon Fleet Davis with a breakout game, over 100 yards from scrimmage between rushing and receiving, a couple of touchdowns as well. Came back from a fumble there in the second half, you know, kind of looking at a goal line situation, a chance for the Terps to go up two touchdowns on the road to really kind of maybe ice that game, start putting it away. You know, that fumble kind of got Illinois back into it. They go down the field, they tie it up, eventually take the lead, but Maryland's offense able to get it done. The reason they're able to get it done there at the end, Taylor, there's a guy named Greg Rose who came up with two crucial sacks on Illinois on their attempted game-winning drive. They end up having to punt after getting well short of first down yardage, and Maryland then gets the opportunity to go down and kick the game-winning field goal. But you know, you got a former walk-on who was put on scholarship right before the season, a pretty awesome video having Kevin Durant announce that he was going on scholarship for the season, and Greg Rose showed up when the Maryland needed him most, two back-to-back sacks in that final Illinois drive to set up Maryland for the W.
Yeah, Maryland's, you know, I think, you know, not as trumpeted defensive line has continued to come up with plays week after week in these games. You know, Lautez Rogers and Joel Chami and Greg Rose, Sam O. There is a cadre of really talented players coming behind them in this recruiting class that we've talked about. A lot of that was stacked on the defensive line, but these older guys are holding the line and keeping their positions and playing very, very well. Sam O is active once again in this game, and as you said, Greg Rose came up with the big plays at the end. Maryland's defense continues to play well. Terps are top 20 in total offense and total defense in the country. There are not many teams that can say that, and Maryland's defense really played well for most of this game, giving up 335 total yards. Not too bad against a Power 5 team, a conference team on the road. Probably gave up more rushing yards than they would like, but Illinois was scoring on fumbles forward that were recovered and taken for touchdowns.
Unbelievable play there.
It's not as if they were sustaining a lot of drives, and it was really sort of a waiting game to see if Maryland's offense could get into gear. It felt like at the beginning of the third quarter, Maryland kind of just rolled down the field and scored, and at that point, it felt like maybe the switch was flipped, but then, you know, you have fumbles and things went against the Terps, and finally at the end, they were able to put it back together. I was so impressed impressed by Talia down the stretch of this game. He was incredibly composed, made the throws he had to make. And I just had Tanfleet Davis, who is sort of trying to take on this mantle as Maryland's starting running back after a great stretch of backs with McFarland and Funk and Leak and Ty Johnson, has really started to assert himself as the lead guy at that position for Maryland. So, you know, a win that, as Coach Loxley said at the end, allows Maryland to build. Now you have a game against Kent State this weekend that is just the epitome of a trap game before a potential gigantic Friday night game against Iowa, ranked in the top 10 in the country. You have Kent State, who, you know, only has one win but has played an incredibly tough schedule, so is not going to be fazed by the level of competition that they see in this game. And as we've seen in the past, Maryland's lost, you know, games to Northern Illinois. People remember about 20 years ago, a game against Bowling Green. Within the last decade, these MAC teams are very frisky. Terps cannot, you know, just expect that this is going to be Howard where they're going to win by 60, you know, just by showing up. You're going to have to beat a team like Kent State who runs the ball very well.
Yeah, 494 yards against VMI and 226 against Texas A&M in that season over. That was the season opener. That was the most the Aggies had allowed in nearly 2 years. So this team can run the ball. You know, if they get ahead early and are looking to dominate some time of possession, you know, that could be a problem for Maryland. They're unable to stop them like they were against the Illini, not letting them to kind of get sustained drives, as you mentioned, able to stop the run and not give them anything, you know, easy in those third and long situations. So it'll be a lot of the same. And, you know, it's one of those games where got to get up early, got to get ahead, and then manage the game from there. You've got the quarterback who can do it. You've got a pretty good running back based on Fleet Davis's performance last weekend. So the recipe for success is obviously there.
Yeah, and Maryland is sort of almost – Howard is kind of an outlier. But in terms of the kind of points of progress you want to see from a team, all right, you open up with sort of like a level-setting game against a team that's pretty even with you probably in West Virginia at home. If you're going to build a program, that's a game you have to win. Maryland passes the test. You beat Howard, whatever. You go on the road against Illinois, a team you're better than. Maryland's more talented than, but it's a road Big Ten game Friday night, big game for Illinois, new head coach. That's a game you have to win if you're trying to get to where you want to go. Maryland wins that game. This is a game that feels so similar to a game Maryland played against Temple 2 years ago before a game against Penn State on a Friday night where Maryland went to Temple, a lot of momentum, had beaten Syracuse, blah, 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 blah. You know, they had been ranked at that point, close to being ranked at this point. You go kind of lay an egg on the road against Temple, and then you go get worked by Penn State two weeks later. This is one of those games where Maryland has to come out and focus on beating Kent State and beat Kent State, go to 4-0, and then what happens against Iowa happens. But you can't get to the Iowa moment unless you beat Kent State. So this is another one of those games where Maryland has to come out and kind of prove that they're the program they want to become. This is another game you have to win to do that. And Maryland is more talented than Kent State. So, you know, that it's just one of those points of progress that Maryland has come up with. I think the one difference that Maryland has that they have not had within the last decade is you have the guy under center that is a total game changer. And that is what Talia Tungavailoa is. Maryland has always, you know, I think Maryland fans have always gotten so anxious about the quarterback play, who the quarterback is, who the quarterback's going to be, who the quarterback of the future is, who's getting hurt, who's not getting hurt. Right now, Talia Tungavailoa has totally stabilized that position, and that is a huge, huge deal. So 3:30 on BTN. Check your BTN channel finder to make sure if you're out of region that you can see the game, because BTN shows multiple games, so it's kind of it can be on overflow channels and things like that. So make sure to go to BTN to get all of that information. You can continue to tweet at Terps Football, and we will tweet back at you if you would like it that way as well. If you would like to complain on Saturday too, that's fine too. I'm fine with that.
you hear those complaints.
I hear
first
those complaints.
Hands,
I hear those complaints. I see those, so I'm willing, more than willing to help on the day of the game as well. If you'd like to accomplish it that way. Maryland volleyball off to a 12-0 start, Keith. We were able to catch up with head coach Adam Hughes. We've had on the show now three or four times.
I love it. Coach Hughes is one of the best guys to have on this show.
One of the best.
Went down to his office, and he was just like, oh, it's good to see you guys in person again. You know, yeah. We were doing these over Zoom you know, in the past year, so he was just happy to be back in a normal setting.
The last time we had him on was during, you know, the COVID season, and, you know, we're talking about over Zoom and everything like that. It was very nice to see him in person in the office, and they've had a heck of a start. I think, obviously, and he touched on in the interview, they tried to schedule some teams from smaller conferences that had a chance to win their league, but to kind of gain some confidence because, as he knows and as his team knows, they're about to head into the gauntlet of the Big Ten schedule, and it starts with number 2, Wisconsin, on Friday. So they have to get thrown right into, and Coach Hughes told us, he
the Alabama of Alabama football of volleyball. Yeah, kind of the comparison he made.
He was like, this team is potentially one of the best Big Ten teams in a long, long time. And that is saying something considering the amount of talent that comes through that conference. So you touched on Coach Hughes about that, the development of his own specific group. They've combined transfers and freshmen and returning players. And we talked about his walks and his coffee, as we get to every single time. So let's get to our interview with Maryland volleyball head coach Adam Hughes. For nearly 75 years, the Terrapin Club has been the foundation for the student athletes, coaches, and staff of Maryland Athletics. And now, Maryland Athletics is proud to announce Terrapin Club Reinvented. Terrapin Club Reinvented offers three new features exclusively for our Terrapin Club members: Terrapin Club Plus, One Maryland Magazine, and the Terrapin Club Backstage Pass. These new benefits will provide members with exclusive content and behind-the-scenes experiences unparalleled in collegiate athletics. To learn more, visit TerrapinClub.com or call 301-314-7020. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with the head coach of Maryland Volleyball, Adam Hughes. Coach Hughes, first of all, you can't be any better than you are right now. Undefeated. We talked about last spring how the lack of a non-conference season was tough for you guys because you jumped right into Big Ten play, and I don't think you're the only program that felt that.
Sure.
Now that you're through your non-conference slate, what have you learned about your team that is valuable for you as you now head into the meat of your schedule?
Yeah, I think looking at the non-conference schedule, we tried to stay somewhat regional, and we were trying to play some teams that would have really good chances of winning their conference, maybe be a tournament team down the road. And one of the things we weren't really sure, we knew that we'd have a young roster, and we weren't exactly sure what our rotations would look like, who would win starting roles. So we wanted to make sure we had plenty of opportunities to test that. And, you know, we were dealt some adversity right out of the gate. We were 3 points in, had a freshman outside, Terry ACL. And, you know, all of a sudden there's another curveball in front of us. So the thing I'm most proud about of that 12-0 and having this non-conference slate is having some time to kind of figure out how the group's going to mesh, how they're going to come together. And, you know, I'm proud of that. They did a really good job watching one of their own go down so fast, so early. You know, no one could have scripted that. No one would have thought it would have happened. So, you know, to be where we are, you know we've got bigger tests coming up. But at the same time, you know, winning is hard, and being 12-0 is something we're proud about.
10 total sweeps, 7 in a row. What's been working, especially lately, to be able to kind of put teams away and leave no doubt?
Yeah, we have a really good core that came back from last year. And I think one of the things that they were most disappointed in the season was the inconsistencies. You know, we had some really high highs, and we were in some battles with top 10 teams, and, you know, losing 15-13 on the road to a really good Ohio State team. But we felt like we weren't preparing, not necessarily in scouting, but just in a day-to-day, you know, going into practice, how we approach film, how we approach our own process just to improve. And so I think that the sweeps are things that we take pride in the sense that, you know, we're not playing up and down. You know, we're playing clean from start to finish. And again, that is hard to do. And so I'm proud of them for that as well. And knowing that that's what they want to, you know, kind of grow is just to be a really consistent program.
What has it been like for you to watch your group? You know, when you're a Big Ten team, you know, you're supposed to go to every one of these tournaments and win all these matches, right? You know, you're the expected win, regardless of how good a mid-major team might be. And not only have you won, as Keith said, you're sweeping these teams. And that has to be a feel-good thing for you, because as much as it's great to get tested in five sets, you want to see your team go in and definitively beat teams. That is sort of like the next level of where you want to be. Has that been nice to see, not only because you're getting things done quickly, but your team has that killer instinct? Like, you get to set three and that inconsistency doesn't show, you just beat a team down and you're out.
Yeah, it feels good too, because we've been able to mix and match the lineup. You know, you've got someone like Kara Lewis last year for us, who was a big time starter and top 10 in blocks, and we were able to rotate her with Hannah Thompson, one of our grad transfers. We've been able to do that and sustain that level is something that's really hard to do and we're proud of. But I think the one thing that we've talked a lot about is, you know, we were the hunted, and now we kind of get to turn the corner a little bit going to Big Ten play and be a little bit more of the hunter. But this group has identified wanting to learn, and they talk about all the time where they're in a tough spot. How do we learn how to get out of this? How do we learn how to close? How do we learn how to suffocate someone once we've learned, you know, what they do well and what they are struggling with? And so we've been able to watch some other teams play really well against us. You know, I think we get our opponent's best shot a lot of times just be a Big Ten team and, you know, the premier team at some of these tournaments. And, you know, I think they've learned a little bit of what that feels like, and hopefully we can kind of turn that and utilize that, you know, that same mentality when we get into Big Ten play.
And you get into Big Ten play this weekend, Wisconsin at home, then Minnesota on the road on Sunday. What do you kind of think are those key factors to carrying it over the success of the non-conference, you know, into these first two matches?
Yeah, I think in years past, I would have honestly made a mistake and tried to change what we do and try to get away from what we are. And, you know, we're not going to look at Wisconsin as a barometer of how good we are. You know, I think this is one of the best Big Ten teams in years, not just this season, but, you know, what they're able to do and what they have returning from last year. You know, 3 years ago, they were in a national championship. And then last year with the COVID season, had some ups and downs, but went clean until they got to the NCAA tournament. And they returned so much. So, you know, for us, it's we want to see what we can get better at within this match. Obviously, we want to test ourselves against the best. And this is, you know, I think clearly the best team in the Big Ten. But then you don't really get much time. You know, that's the one thing that's a little bit different. Last year in Big Ten play, we played the same team twice. So it was unique. You got to prepare all week for one team. You test the strategy. If it didn't work, you try something new the next night. Now we've got to go from Wisconsin on Friday to Minnesota on Sunday. And they're very, very different in how they play. So this is a new thing for us to learn. And that is one thing that we're approaching that week is, you know, can we improve in this process?
How, and you're going to need this in Big Ten play. You need, you know, consistent, you know, team culture and you know, you're going to have ups and downs like every Big Ten. You know, Wisconsin may run through the league, but everybody else in the league
yep.
is going to go up and down. It seems like your team, despite having returners with grad transfers and freshmen, has come together quickly in terms of, you know, having a good and a fun culture. We see them on the bench. They're having a lot of fun. Yeah. How have you seen that develop, and how key is that for you in what becomes a grind? I mean, I don't think people understand how long the volleyball season is, especially once you get into Big Ten play.
Yeah, I think that's where, you know, we had a really good core coming back from last year. And, you know, we had a bunch of grad transfers move on, but we had always planned on them to be gone. COVID was an extra year. And so this has always been a transition point for us. And I think those young players last year were really starting to understand, okay, this is where we are and this is where we want to get to. And they've been working really hard to continue to build our program. And I give them a lot of credit. But I think because they were so strong and very open, you know, having the grads come in has been an awesome bonus. You know, those guys are excited. They've never been in a Big Ten match. They can't wait to get to this kind of atmosphere. And so they bring us, you know, I would say energy, you know, we're a good reminder of you were fortunate to be in this league. You know, we love competing at this level, but you can't lose sight on, you know, we're playing a number two team in the country. Not a lot of people get to say that they get to do that. And so that's where that balancing act between the two has been really good. And I think they've just meshed really, really well every day in practice. I feel that same kind of energy. You know, they're always trying to learn. They talk about it all the time, but they are always having a good time doing it.
You mentioned atmosphere there. How excited are you to be back playing in front of fans? How excited is the team to be back? You're going to go into these Big Ten environments, and it's not you know, just the refs and, you know, the coaches on the sidelines.
Right. I mean, we went through stages last year. We got the parents, and that made a big difference, just having some people in the gym. You know, this year we started our first non-conference tournament, and we had you know, a nice crowd, had about 1,000 people in the pavilion, and it was a noticeable difference. Those guys, I mean, having an atmosphere in a smaller gym like that makes the event just you know, a easier to manage. You know, when you're getting those tight situations and you make an amazing play, like Milan comes in and saves a ball, you know, the gym erupts, and that kind of pushes your team over the top a little bit. You know, we'll get our first taste of the other side of this equation when we go to Minnesota on Sunday, but it was really great this past weekend to have the band back. That's something we haven't had. And, you know, we spent a lot of time working on the alma mater, the victory song, and we did a class battle to see who would be the best of the best in preseason. And, you know, having them there, we won this past weekend. It's the first thing I wanted to do was go celebrate with those guys. So, you know, it's good. We want this to, you know, to continue to be a really tough place to play. Dana Retke, who's one of the best players, I would say, in the country, said 2 years ago that the two toughest places to play in the Big Ten was Nebraska and Maryland, because it's tight, it's on top of you, it's loud, and, you know, that's the atmosphere we're shooting for.
Raynell Jones has had a great senior season so far, 2.06 blocks. That leads the country. We've had her on this show before. Not only is doing great things on the volleyball court, but also has done so much in terms of the social justice and really been a leader amongst the student athletes. How have you seen her sort of come into her own for her final season, where it all feels like it kind of has come together for her? Off the court, she's doing such great things, but now on the court, you know, she's performing like one of the best players in the country.
Yeah, I'm really proud of her in the sense that this is always something that was important to her. I don't think she ever had the confidence to, you know, speak her mind and kind of be a leader in this area, not just for our volleyball program, but, you know, for the athletic department a a lot of ways. And so to see her grow in that confidence and feel comfortable being that way and being supported is, you know, really important. And it's what we want here at Maryland. You know, we talk a lot about it. BU align with us. You know, I'm glad that she feels that she can be herself and kind of be that spokesperson for us. But in terms as a player, you know, she's someone that when she had some success, I think that really sparked her interest in making sure that she wanted more. And she always comes back looking for, okay, well, last year was good, but how do I get better? You know, she talks about herself in stages. This is Raynell 2.0. This is Raynell 3.0. And, you know, I think that's helped kind of guide her through her ups and downs. You know, she's going to have some tough matches. She's going to have a tough matchup this weekend. But, you know, because she has that process, it allows her to keep improving.
Another name to know, Milan Gomilian, over 5 digs a set in the Big Ten, leading the conference right now. What have you seen from her? How stable has she been kind of back there to, you know, keep some points alive?
Yeah, Millie is someone that I'm not going to take credit for coaching, because she just makes some plays. You know, she's you know, someone that as a quarterback who gets outside the pocket, just makes good reads, good throws. There's only so much of that you can teach. She's the same thing. You know, I think the one thing that people underestimate is the amount of points that she saves, the things that would be kills for another team or a block for another team. She is saving those points and giving us more opportunities. And in terms of energy, it just makes the rest of the team play a little bit more free and clean. You know, she gets the crowd going when she makes some of those diving saves as well. So, you know, you'd be surprised, though. She's, you know, she's obviously a pretty confident player. But she comes off of back-to-back Big Ten Freshman of the Week, and she's still beating herself up because she sees ways that she can improve. So as a coach, there's not much more you can ask for with that mentality.
Coach, we have to get to the really most important question. Can you get an update on your running trails, your walking trail? Like, where have you evolved here into this in the summer and fall? I think once a day I see you walking outside of my office over here somewhere. So where's the go-to spot right now?
Yeah, so right now, right behind field hockey, there's a great path. It's about
And Coach, I think I saw you there the other day.
Yeah,
just
well,
a
you saw
days
me
ago.
With a baby too.
Well, I wanted to bring this up because I'm running. It's a little sunny out. I'm feeling it. I'm not exactly breaking the mile pace barrier here.
Yep.
You come chugging along with the stroller. I'm like, he's running faster than me. He's got a stroller. I started picking up the pace a little bit. I gotta get back to the other way. He's gonna catch up with me.
Yeah, that's my go-to spot. It's really nice and quiet back there. I feel like people don't even realize it exists, you know. And it always drops you off at Vigilante if you stay on that path. So just in case you need to stop and get a quick coffee. But yeah, in season, it's a must for me to stay balanced in that sense. I'm trying to convince. I saw Damon out. He's running his 5K, but I'm hoping that I can convince him to try that. You just got to be careful. There are some snakes out there. I'm not a big fan of snakes.
You're managing your kids here as you go through the season. You're like rolling them to daycare. We see you on social media. Yeah. What is it like for you to last year was so weird with the COVID season where it was almost weird to have family around because you're trying to separate everything and make sure no one gets sick. Is it better? Has this been just easier for you to now have everything a little bit more normal where you feel like your family can be around the team and all those different things?
Yeah, I think there's definitely more peace of mind. You know, when we first started, there was no one in the gym. And when we were going on road trips, you really couldn't see the families, you know. So Allison, my kids would stand behind the bus and literally wave us goodbye, but they weren't allowed to touch anyone or give any hugs and, you know, just to be able to support. So having them back in the pavilion has been great, you know, and it just kind of reminds you and keeps things in perspective. You know, we're doing this because we love what we do, but, you know, obviously family is a really important piece of that. To have them back in the gym and be around the team is another thing that's really, really critical. You know, we added a team impact student athlete even just yesterday, and to be able to have that perspective and have new people around the program, you know, just keeps us in a positive light. I think that's the best way. So we'll take a lot of lessons from the COVID season, but one thing we will not take for granted is just that we're lucky to be here, proud to support Maryland. And, you know, this is an amazing job, but, you know, just feel really lucky.
Talk about that team impact edition. Obviously that's something that's happened on so many Maryland teams, but specifically for you, the personal story there, and how that gives your team perspective as they go through the year.
Yeah, it's great. We've been working on this for some time. You know, before the COVID season, we were trying to put something in place and find a draft pick for ourselves. We were lucky that late in the summer, we found a young lady, Simone, who was, you know, from the Baltimore area and really was looking for be part of a new team. And we got to meet with her two or three times in the last couple of weeks. We had draft day yesterday. And, you know, her mom gave a great speech. And she said that she got to watch us at our UMBC match. And her favorite part wasn't how bad we won. I mean, we won by big, big margins. But to see us have fun in the process is something that she wanted to remind us that we're lucky that we get to do all the time. So that's something that will stick with me as a coach, and I'm hoping we'll stick with the team. Just a constant reminder of, again, you know, this is a fortunate thing we get to do as college athletics. So it's been a great gift, and you know, hopefully we'll have her around for the next couple of years.
Final update: how much time till the coffee alarm here?
Yeah, we've got 9 minutes, and I can make it to Vigilante and back in about 12.
I mean, the timing is just perfect.
The timing is perfect. That means That means we need to get you off the show. Adam Hughes, thanks so much for coming on. Everyone, go out and watch Terps Volleyball at the Pavilion Friday night, 7 o'clock against number 2 Wisconsin. Should be a fun one. Coach Hughes, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
Want to take the Terrapins with you wherever you go? Maryland Athletics has officially launched the One Maryland mobile app, a must-have for all Terps fans. The One Maryland app is a one-stop shop for all things Terps, featuring the latest news, scores, game day information, and exclusive content from your favorite Maryland teams. Download the One Maryland app on your iOS or Android device today by searching for Maryland Athletics in your device's app store. Back on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota. Thanks once again to Maryland Volleyball head coach Adam Hughes for jumping on with us. I mean, he talked about it. You know, you have all of these wins and everything, and then you get to kind of this measuring stick that is Wisconsin. What I think is super interesting about it, and he points out Dana Redke is one of the best players in the country, talked about how Maryland is one of the toughest places to play. So obviously the Pavilion is one of the smaller venues, the Infinity Center Pavilion, one of the smaller venues, and they really just jacked the music up in there. So it's become kind of like a little bit of a house of horses in terms of getting used to it for Big Ten opponents. They're just not used to the fans being right on top. And, you know, because playing big venues, like if you look at like Nebraska, there's like 14,000 people there. It's a big venue.
Playing in the basketball arena.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, Minnesota's playing in a big venue. Penn State's playing in a big venue. So hopefully that will help energize the Terps and they can, you know, perform well against Wisconsin. I mean, obviously you don't expect to beat the number 2 team in the country necessarily, but you know, you want to perform well and show up for the home fans. So hopefully people can go out and see it.
While you were listening to this podcast, Coach Hughes probably ran 2 or 3 miles while you were doing
yes.
that. That man is
He's
always on the
challenging
move.
Challenging you, Keith.
Yes.
You're one of the great runners in this department.
I said it in the interview, man. He's pushing a stroller and running laps around me. So, you know, that's the energy he brings to it, you know, every single day. And, you know, they had the scouting report ready to go on the desk when we walked in there. You know, they're getting prepared, you know, bright and early for this match on Friday.
They then have to fly and go play Minnesota at Minnesota. So no rest for the weary there after they're done. They have gotten off to a great start, as many of Maryland's fall teams have. Men's soccer 6-1. They play Ohio State on Friday on the road, and then next Tuesday against a Rutgers team that has their best start since 1985. So that will be a really big game in the Big Ten standings. Tuesday at Ludwig Field, so make sure to go out for that. And then Maryland field hockey got an overtime win. They continue to, you know, be ranked in the top 10. And we'll hopefully contend for a Big Ten title.
Maryland women's soccer started Big Ten play last weekend, looking for their first win in conference play. Two more home games this week, Thursday as you're listening to this, and Sunday at home.
Yes. So
Nebraska and Northwestern in town.
A lot of soccer at Ludwig Field coming up over the next 4 to 5 days. Either you or I will be there for all of it.
That's right.
So that's really all that matters. That's really all that matters is footy is played in College Park. And we were 50 days from basketball 2 days ago. So.
We're in a blank.
Men's basketball. 50 days for men's basketball, but yes.
Both those teams tipping off around the same time, and it'll be here before you know it. I think, like I say that, like every other episode when something's coming up, but it's true.
Yes, it really is true. Every time we have an episode, we are coming closer to something else starting. Before we end this show, Keith, I have to give a shout out to one thing as I look it up so I don't get this statistic.
This is great radio here.
Lamont Wade Jr., former Maryland baseball player,
okay.
Played on the 2015 and 2014 Super Regional teams,
sure.
If people remember. He leads Major League Baseball with 6 go-ahead hits in the 9th inning or later. In the 9th inning this year, he's batting .632 with 11 RBIs and a 1.597 OPS. He was in AAA 3 months ago. He got traded for a pitcher that's now been cut 3 times since he got traded for them. He's an incredible story. He's from Maryland, went to St. Paul's around the Baltimore area. Brother Jamal also played for the Terps. So I have to give a shout out to Lamont Wade, who is really one of the better stories in all of baseball this year as a key cog for the first place and, you know, a World Series contender in the San Francisco Giants. Brandon Lau also a big part of another World Series contender on the other side. So we could see, once again, Terp versus Terp in the World Series, which would be pretty special.
Hey,
so,
I've got some teams to root for now because you know my hometown team, Baltimore Orioles, not going to make the playoffs in 2021.
We've got some Terps to pull for instead. Lau and Kevin Smith and all these guys that are Major League Baseball, we could use a lot. But Cedric Mullins, we have Cedric Mullins. That's all we have. So shout out to Lamont and shout out to the Terps as they head Terps in Major League Baseball as they head towards the playoffs. That is pretty cool. Was watching Bilal last night for the Rays, and then Lamont had another big hit for the Giants. It's very, very cool to see all from that same era of team. But that's enough for this week's episode of Hear the Turtle. Thanks so much to Adam Hughes for jumping on with us this week, and make sure to support Maryland Volleyball this Friday if you can make it out to the Pavilion or watch on Big Ten Plus. You can follow Keith at Sned31. You can follow me at TaylorSmythe10. You can follow the podcast at Hear the Turtle on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to give us a 5-star review and rating. And we will talk to you next time on Hear the Turtle, presented by Toyota.
Go Terps.